الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We express our shukr and gratitude to Allah Rabbul Izzat who has given us this Mubarak day of Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a beautiful day in which we abide by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we present our sacrifices before Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah accept the qurbani that will be taking place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj of all the hujjaj who had assembled yesterday at Arafat. How fortunate were those who read that labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik ala sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. The millions all assembled in the plains of Arafat, crying and supplicating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different nationalities, different colors, but there was equality. And every person is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And everybody is saying, Labbaik, O Allah, I am present. O Allah, I am present. I am at your service, O my Allah. Whether the person was a king, a prime minister of any country, whether he was a street sweeper, all those who have made hajj, may Allah accept the hajj. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives the person the tawfiq of making hajj. When Allah invites a person, then nobody can come in between. Nobody can become an obstacle. That is why we say, when Allah has invited a person, then we find, without means sometimes, or with very little means, a person gets astonished. This man, how did he go for hajj? Last week I read an article of a person, they were actually a news agency from Turkey. They were doing some report in a little village in Ghana, in Africa. And as they were busy doing the report, they were using one of these drones, small drones, to do the report and survey the little village. When the drone came down, so this news reporter runs forward to pick up his little drone. It's like a little toy. And when he goes, it had actually landed in one of the homes of one of the people living in that village. When he goes there, he finds an elderly man who's got this little drone in his hand. And with a smile on his face, a very innocent smile, he puts a request and he says, "Would this little drone take a person like me all the way to Makkah to make hajj?" So this news reporter then tweeted this sentiment or this desire of this person living in Ghana, an elderly man, Muslim, who hadn't made hajj, hadn't seen the Kaaba. Not long after that, the Turkish government, when they heard of this, they made all the arrangements for this person to make his hajj, and he was in Arafat yesterday. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who takes us. Allah, out of His kindness, His favors, His grace, His mercy, has given us plenty. What is the lesson of Qurbani? We had mentioned last Friday in detail, we expounded the important lessons of Qurbani, the important lessons of Hajj, of Eid al-Adha, the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Ismail alayhi salatu salam, Hajar alayhi salatu salam. We gave detailed explanation of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was embedded in the hearts.
The love of Allah Ta'ala becomes dominant in the hearts. How they passed the tests, the trials that they were faced with flying colors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so pleased with the action of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. With the action of Ismail alayhi salatu salam. With the action of Hajar alayhi salatu salam. She ran from Safa to Marwa, Safa to Marwa, in search of water for her little child. They made their qurbani, they were left in the barren lands of Makkah, not the Makkah that we see today. At that time there was no vegetation, there were no trees, there were no human beings. Nobody at all. There wasn't even the Kaaba Sharif. And she looks for water. She's left all alone with a little child, with a little bit of dates and some water which obviously got finished. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah that leave your family all alone there. This is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not question Allah, oh Allah, how can I be so cruel? How can I be so harsh? Why should I leave my wife and my child all alone when there's no person there to look after them? He doesn't say a word to them. He leaves them. He's going back. She asks, oh Ibrahim, where are you leaving us? All alone? He doesn't reply. Then look at her iman, her yaqeen. When a person has got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person becomes obedient to Allah. The person very easily submits before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, did Allah instruct you to leave us alone? He says, na'am, yes. So then she says, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعَنَا. If Allah has commanded you to do so, then Allah will never destroy us. Allah will take care of us. Then we see the sacrifices of that pinnacle of sacrifices that Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, on the instruction of Allah through the dream that he had seen that he has to sacrifice his child Ismail alayhi salatu salam, both father and son submitted. He asked Ismail alayhi salatu salam, I have seen this dream. فَانْظُرْ مَادَا تَرَى. What do you have to say? He said, يَا أَبَتِفْ عَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Oh my beloved father, whatever Allah has commanded you to do, execute it, carry it out. It is the command of Allah. We shouldn't delay. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced them with a ram from Jannah. And this is this qurbani that we are making today. And we think of the lessons of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. My beloved brothers and elders, what is required from us? The love of Allah has to be dominant in our hearts. The spirit of sacrifice, qurbani. The word qurbani means sacrifice. We are unable to even sacrifice our sleep and attend the Fajr Salah. How beautiful it was this morning. That long before Jamaat could even stand up, the masjid is almost full. Even after Salah, everybody is sitting so patiently. Why not every single day of our life? We all are required to make a little bit of sacrifice on our side. Sometimes it's the wealth that we have to sacrifice. The time that we have, the leisures and pleasures, the comfort that we are enjoying. And look at the lives of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The entire lives we see sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice. Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire seerah if we read, there's only lessons of sacrifice. His family makes sacrifice. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she embraces Islam. She was already married to Abu al-As bin Rabi'. He refused to accept Islam. In this limited time, I'm going to make the story very short, just give you the synopsis and just the gist of the entire detailed story that appears in the books of Seerah. At that time, nikah of this nature was permissible. The laws of nikah came long later in Madinah Munawwara. She tries to invite him towards Islam, he refuses. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the command to make hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. Sahaba leave. Finally, Rasulullah sallam leaves. It says Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, it's a desire to join her father. She's refused, husband refuses the permission.
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her to remain behind Makkah. Imagine your beloved daughter. She's a believer. And now you are leaving her alone. And you are making this hijrat. How Rasulullah you should miss Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. She remains in Makkah. Battle of Badr takes place. A husband is on the side of the disbelievers, fighting the believers. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala is worried. My husband is going to go. He's fighting against my own father. He's fighting against Islam and the believers. Her desire was that Islam must be victorious. My father must be victorious. Abu al-As bin Rabi is taken as a captive by the Muslims. The mushrikeen were taken as captives, as prisoners. Mashura was made what to do with them. Finally, Rasulullah SAW decided that we will set them free. They must pay some ransom. So the people of Makkah sent some ransom to free the captives, the relatives who were taken as captives by the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got his own son-in-law as a captive. Of course, the prisoners were treated with such fairness and such dignity. It's mind-boggling. If you look in the books of history, that Rasulullah sallam had so much concern even for the prisoners and how fairly he treated them. Nonetheless, Zainab radiallahu anha hears that my husband Abu al-As bin Rabi is taken as a captive. So she sends a necklace over to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that my husband can be ransomed. When Rasulullah sees his necklace, فَرَقَّ لَهَا رِقَّهُ وَبَكَى لَهَا بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. Rasulullah sees his necklace and he begins to cry. Imagine sahaba seated there. Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? She says, this necklace belongs to my Khadija, radiallahu anha, my beloved wife. When my daughter Zainab got married, she gave this necklace as a gift to her daughter. Abu al-As bin Rabi was the nephew of Khadija, radiallahu anha. Hazrat Zainab got married to her first cousin. So she says, Rasulullah says Zainab was given this necklace by her mother Khadija, and now I'm thinking of my Khadija radiallahu anha. He says, oh my Sahaba, can I give back this necklace to my Zainab? Sahaba said, yes, no problem. Ya Rasulullah, you command and we will just listen. He says, on one condition, Abu al-As, I will give back this necklace on condition, and I will set you free on condition you send my Zainab over to Medina. He agrees. He goes back to Makkah. He prepares his wife to now come to Medina Munawwara. And he just pictures this entire incident. She's mounted on the camel. And ulama and historians have written she was pregnant. And she's leaving now. She bids her husband farewell, hoping that he embraces Islam. But she is now going to Medina Munawwara to make the hijrat from Makkah to Medina. As she's leaving Makkah Mukarramah, the enemy see her. And there's a person by the name of Habbar ibn Aswad. At that time he was not a Muslim. He was from the enemy, from the Quraysh of Makkah. And he sees her leaving. He questions her, where are you going to? She said, I'm going to meet my father in Medina. I'm making this hijrah, this migration. He says, you can never do so. He takes his spear and he stabs the camel that she was mounted on. He pierces the camel. And the camel falls. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah, also falls off the camel. She's injured. She aborts her child. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala is brought back to her house. Her husband becomes very, very upset with Habbar ibn Aswad. After some time when she recovers, then she is sent to Medina Munawwara in a very safe condition and she meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine these sacrifices the Sahaba made? My respected brothers and elders, the burning desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that every person may embrace Islam. Islam must spread far and wide. Abu al-As bin Rabi' is still being invited by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to embrace Islam. Zainab is also trying to send messages to him to embrace Islam. He still refuses. He goes towards Syria and he goes to purchase goods for the Quraysh in Makkah. They give him the monies, he goes over, he buys the goods, As he's returning, this caravan was intercepted by the Muslims. The goods were taken away. So Abu al-As bin Rabi makes his way towards Medina very secretly. He finds out the location where Zainab was residing. He goes to her. She gets a shock to see her husband. He sees, this is what has happened. Fajr Salah takes place. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs the Salah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Namaz terminates. Immediately he hears a voice on the back. The voice of his daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, saying that Abu al-As bin Rabi, my husband, is here and I have given him amnesty and protection. Nabiya Kareem said, as sahaba, did you hear what I heard? He said, yes. He said that we have given him amnesty. But he warns Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha that you cannot have any relationships with him. The goods are given back to him. He takes the goods and he goes to Makkah. Zainab again invites him towards Islam. He does not accept Islam. He comes to Makkah Mukarramah. He goes to each individual who had given him the money to purchase goods. He goes to them, gives them, hands the goods to them. Have I fulfilled my amanat? He said, yes. He said, well, now let me explain to you that now I'm going to embrace the religion of Islam. He comes to Madinah Munawwara, meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yesterday you gave me protection. Today I have come to you to recite the kalima on your hands. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu annaka Muhammad Rasulullah. He embraces Islam. What about the person who injured Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha? Habbar ibn al-Aswad. Fatih Makkah takes place. Amongst the people who were declared as amongst, by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the Sahaba, if you find these certain people, then don't spare their life. He was amongst those people. Nonetheless, he comes before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hidayah to whoever he wishes. He comes forward. First he conceals himself. Very suddenly he appears before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba see him. Ya Rasulullah, Habbar. And before they could say anything, he says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have heard of your generosity, your large-heartedness, your kindness, your forgiveness. I made a mistake. I have come to ask you for forgiveness. Please forgive me. Nabi Muhammad says, قَدْ عَفَوْتُ عَنْكَ. I have forgiven you. And this person, Habbar ibn Aswad, also embraces Islam, becomes a sahabi, radiallahu anhu. My beloved brothers, and at the point of giving these incidents is to show us the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, when their focus was the akhirat. They realized they are not going to live in this world forever and ever. So therefore they knew the real lesson of qurbani and sacrifice. The real spirit of sacrifice. Imagine Bashir radiallahu ta'ala, little youngster, young little boy. According to the kitabs we understand, if he lived alone in Medina with his father, his mother had passed on probably, and he came, made hijrat with his father, living in Medina Munawwara. And shortly after they come, there is a call for the Sahaba to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an expedition, and there's some enemy who they have to confront. So, Bashir radiallahu ta'ala's father goes with this other Sahaba. He's all alone in Medina now, playing in the gullies of Medina, running around, waiting. Just now my father will return. And soon after a few days, the call came that the Muslim army is returning. So every little child went out to embrace and meet and welcome their fathers. The young little boys and girls go out. And Bashir radiallahu ta'ala also goes out, awaiting his father's return. He finds a little place, and as the Muslim army returns, the little children identify their fathers, and they run to their fathers, and they embrace their fathers. And the fathers begin to embrace them, and kiss them, and hug them. Oh my little child, I've been missing you for so many days. My beloved brothers and elders, we talk about qurbani. It's not just putting the animal down and sacrificing. There's a great lesson behind it.
It is the taqwa in our hearts. The love of Allah we have in our hearts. The greatness of Allah we have in our hearts. The yaqeen of Allah we have in our hearts. The real spirit of sacrifice for the deen of Allah. The deen must spread throughout the four corners of the globe. We are placing the knife on our nafs. It is Fajr Salah. It is cold. So we put the blanket over our heads and we ignore the call of the Muazzin. My respected brothers and elders, Bashir radiallahu ta'ala searches for his father. He does not see his father. He looks and he finds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innocent little child comes running to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, ma fa'ala bi? Where is my father? Everybody else have seen their fathers. Where is my father? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized what had happened. That Bashir's father had become shaheed. He was rahmatul lil alameen. Rasulullah loved every single person. How is he going to break the news to the little child? He tries to just avoid the situation right then. And he thought that perhaps he may explain to him a little later. So Rasul turned away a bit. Bashir comes running again on the other side. Innocent little child. Innocent masoom words. Ya Rasulullah, ma fa'ala abi? Where's my father? Every other child have seen their fathers. Where's my father? Rasul breaks out into tears. He cries. He says, your father has become the beloved of Allah. Bashir radiallahu anhu begins to cry. What's going to happen to me now, Ya Rasulullah? He says, aren't you happy? Ama tarda an akun laka abak wa Aisha tu ummak. O Bashir, from today, I will be your father. Aisha will be your mother. I will be your father. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba explained that Bashir radiallahu anhu immediately said, Ya Rasul, I am happy, I am happy, I am happy. There are so many incidents that are flooding now. Sacrifices of the sahaba. My beloved brothers and elders, let us make that qurbani for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make sure that we read our five times salat with jamaat in the masjid every single day of our lives. Tarbiyat of our youngsters, our young boys, our young sons, our young daughters. We must have ta'aleem at home. Realize that our goal is the akhirat. We are not going to live in this dunya forever and ever. It comes an end to all our happiness and our pleasures and leisures. Maut comes. When maut comes, only Allah knows best. Last night, two janazas in Palak. May Allah make them maghfirat. May Allah give them jannatul firdaus. We don't even know whether we see the end of Eid Salah. How many people have gone for Hajj? May Allah make them return safely. But my respected brothers and elders, we have to now realize who we are, where we are, what we are heading towards, what is our goal in this life. And now we are moving towards Akhirat. We are moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us prepare for the life after death. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah unite the hearts of the entire Muslim Ummah. And let us not forget our Muslim brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, in African countries, in Syria and in Iraq, in so many other war-torn countries. When we will have good food to eat, so much of meat, those little masoom children have to wait for perhaps weeks to get a little bit of some canned meat that may reach them. May Allah Ta'ala change the condition of the entire Muslim Ummah. May Allah unite our hearts and give us happiness and muhabbat. May Allah strengthen us and make us beacons of hidayat for the entire Muslim Ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.